Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello and welcome to episode 81 of New Shooter Canada. This week we are going to be talking, actually Mike will be talking, about going to the range for the first time. By your lonesome self with no friends and family. Sorry. Anyways, so we've already tried this three times, so let's keep going. I'm George. George,
welcome
the
back, George.
George the Quitter, that's unquitted for this week. I don't have a load going out till Monday afternoon, and I've got no kids today, so I was able to make the show.
Yay.
And we have joining us Mike Hissen, our newest, greatest, most fabulous co-host, which apparently we didn't properly introduce and give a bio last week. So, Mike, how about we start with you, and then we'll move on to Thomas and Kelly, and tell us about yourself.
Well, I grew up with a family that had nothing to do with shooting, no hunting, anything like that. I always had an interest in getting into firearms. It wasn't until my wife needed to get her PAL for work opportunities that I finally saw that as my chance to get into firearms. Even after I got my PAL, it was still about another 2 years before I even had the courage, I guess, to go buy a gun because I had no one to ask what I should buy or anything like that. After I bought that, I went to the range, fell in love with it right away. From there, it just kind of took off. Bought a shotgun to shoot skeet and trap with. After that, went out and got my RPAL. Started with a 22 handgun. I think the very first time I took it to the range, I said, yep, I'm going to buy center fires now. So went out, bought a Tokarev TT-33 at the time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't necessarily regret it, but it's just a safe ornament now. It doesn't even see the light of day anymore.
What's wrong with the Tokarev?
Well, besides the fact that the ammo I bought is, I assume, hot, and I can only put about 50 rounds through it before my ejector spring breaks, and that makes it so when I go to shoot it, it doesn't pull the empty casing out, but the slide will still go forward and jam the empty case into the chamber, and it takes a mallet to take apart the gun and use a mallet to get that empty casing out.
Yeah, okay, I don't want to buy it then.
Yeah. It's a very nice piece of history, but if you want to go shoot it, I would go with something else. And then from there, I got into IDPA just last year. I went to the Maple Seed last year, too, where I met everyone. And, yeah, going into another year of IDPA, and I've been reloading for a couple of years now. Apparently not as well as I should be, based on what I did in guns this week.
Oh, I haven't...
Did you in guns this week?
Well, for starters, correction, last week I said I was using CCI primers. Uh-huh. I was actually using Federal primers.
They're a really soft primer.
Yeah, which is what really concerned me about those rounds not going off. I did go to the range this week. The new lot of primers worked 100%. Not one hiccup with it at all. I tried to run a classifier test for IDPA because I have a classifier coming up in a few weeks. That didn't go well because I was just using a shot timer on my cell phone, which every time the wind blew over, it would detect about 100 shots. Yeah, so I did like the first stage, and I looked down, I thought, 6 seconds, and I thought, okay, maybe I'm just really rusty. And then I went to do the next one, as I was writing down my time, I noticed that it kept going up. So that quickly ended. Not to mention, after about 10 minutes of shooting, my hands were frozen, and I couldn't feel them anymore. I went to go try some of those loads from last week just to see, maybe it was just really bad luck last week that the primers weren't going off. And I was shooting about 4 out of every 10 rounds would not go off. And I have a 6-hour P226, so I would even pull the trigger twice on each round and they wouldn't go off. But I was shooting along, round didn't go off, didn't think much of it at this point, so I just racked the slide, and next round wouldn't go in. Oh. I thought I had bulged the case too much, or like expanded the case too much, it didn't get shrunk back down, something like that. So I took it out, and I was looking at it, and I'm thinking, no, it looks relatively normal, I'll try and drop it in again. So I try it, doesn't work. This is weird. So I just thought, okay, well, it was the last round of the magazine, I was done, I had to go reload anyways. So I went back, and I was sitting there thinking, I wonder if there's something in my barrel. So I take a pen, and I stick it down, and I knock a round out of my barrel. It had come out of my casing just enough to get stuck in like the landing grooves, but didn't actually go anywhere.
Oh. Yikes.
So the primer didn't go off at all? You didn't hear any strange sound or anything?
I didn't hear anything, which scared me. Now, in hindsight, that primer may not have gone off at all because these were the questionable primers.
Right.
But I've heard at matches people getting a squib. And I don't recall hearing that sound at all. So that kind of scared the bejeebas out of me, thinking that if that round had gone just a little bit further, my gun could have been in pieces.
Yeah. How many of you loaded with those primers?
I originally loaded about 500. I probably have about 300 of them left.
You thinking about taking them and taking the bullets off out of them and then just redoing them?
That was my thought, yeah, because the bullets are still perfectly good.
Right.
That's the reason to get rid of them. Yeah, but I have no idea what to do with those primers because they still have the explosive compound in them. I have a whole nother box of 1,000 from that lot.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I don't know what to do with them because I don't want to just throw a box of 1,000 primers into the garbage or something like that. I wouldn't do that. Obviously, some of them still go off, so I don't know. What should I do with them?
Fire pit.
Yeah, but you can't. Yeah.
I would soak them with water and bury them someplace.
Yeah.
Just take them back to. I would assume you could take them back to the gun shop, and they'll have a way of disposing of them.
Yeah, possibly. I never even considered that.
They're just primers. It's not like you're taking live ammunition or anything.
Yeah.
Now, my question is if you didn't hear anything and that projectile still came off the cartridge, I would be seriously checking the crimp on the bullet. Because, see, if you didn't hear a sound and it didn't ignite, why did the projectile come off?
Yeah. Yeah, and I question if that actually might have to do with the... I started reloading with a case-activated powder drop, and when the case goes up and activates it, it also expands it a little bit.
So you're using a B-press?
No, it's a Hornady.
Okay.
And I'm questioning if that case got expanded too much when it went up there.
It could be. I found if you're expanding your cases too much, you're going to find that you're going to get a lot of cracks in your case rim. Like you only get a few loadings out of a shell. Because expanding and contracting the case mouth, the case will crack. So if your cases are failing, that's a good sign that you're expanding it too much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I have to look into that and figure out what I'm going to do, but I get the luxury of pulling probably about 300 rounds now.
Oh, don't you love... There is a die that you can get for taking them apart, so you don't have to take the hammer and take them all apart. I know Trevor was talking about some type of X die that he uses for taking the bullets off.
Yeah. I was considering getting that, especially after last year. I had loaded about 500 rounds for Sarah for her cowboy shooting, and I had grossly misjudged how much powder I needed to put into them.
And when you say grossly,
I put too little in.
Oh, Mike.
No, I didn't go the fun big boom way. I went with the way of Sarah like shooting cowboy. Boom. Your power factor is like 60, something ridiculously low.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll give Sarah the competitive edge and load them nice and light. But apparently nice and light was too light.
Too light.
So last year I had to manually take out with the hammer about 500 rounds.
Ouch.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
How many hammers did you go through?
Just one. I hear
people go out and get a hammer, right? And what they'll do is they'll start smashing on the concrete, a nice hard surface. Well, you take your bullet hammer to a concrete, your hammer is not going to last very long. You're best to hammer a piece of hardwood or something just to save the hammer.
I use the concrete floor in my basement, and it has and it hasn't cracked or anything.
I've exploded a couple of hammers that I hit so hard in the concrete.
I think you're swinging too hard.
So was there anything else, Mike?
I just read the IDPA rule book again, getting ready for... I signed up for 2 matches in the classifier this week, so nice. IDPA season's picking up, so I figured I should read the rule book again.
Yeah, rules.
Well, considering at the last match, I was the RO was scoring, and I remember him scoring something. I even went to him afterwards and said, "Did you score that right? I didn't think so." And he said, "Read the rule book." So, okay, fine. I guess I got to go read the rule book again.
Well, that was pleasant.
Yeah.
So that brings us to Mr. Thomas. What did you do in Guns this week?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I've been spending all my spare time at the hospital because Terry's still in there. Remember last week, Kelly, when I was talking about bits and pieces, how they sent me back that email list of all the barrels, but not the prices?
Yeah.
Well, I emailed them back saying, well, you know, thanks for the list, but there was no prices. And they said, if you take that screen and you scroll a little bit to the right, all the prices magically show up.
You gotta love it.
Oh, yeah. But I found the Green Mountain barrel that I want, and they're available in blue or steel. They have this really nice drop-in replacement. It's a 920 bull barrel, 16.5 inches fluted, weighs 2.5 pounds, and it's 192 Canadian. So it's $50 less than what Alaska's asking for them, and they have them in stock. They also have them in either the Ben's Match Chamber or the Sporter Chamber. So I've got their link in there if you want to go check it out. It's called bitsofpieces.com. So www.bitsofpieces.com. And they're the Canadian distributor for Green Mountain Barrels. But they had something different I've never seen before. They've got your standard Sporter weight barrel, and then that's fluted. So it's an ultra light steel barrel, and it's pencil thin. I've never seen one of those, so I'd be curious to see how that shoots. Besides that, all I did was just clean a bunch of guns. I hadn't had time to go to the range, so I ripped everything apart last night, and I probably cleaned 5 or 6 guns last night. So I'm all set to go to the range, just don't have the time. What about you, George?
All right. Community? Hold on a sec. I got to cue this up. This is what I did in guns this week.
So since George is living vicariously through me, I've decided just to do the audio version of this. So last weekend, Valvery Defense is working closely with the sheriff's office, and we had a little project we were doing. We realized it's a little more involved, so we're going to be extending this out into through June. We're going to be working with them. But the first class with this group was pretty atrocious. The weather did not cooperate very well. We had some 50-something mile-an-hour winds pretty much all day. So you can imagine that the assistant instructors were really tired of using the staple guns. And I think we went through about 1,000 staples. So, yeah. Then the rain rolled in. And then Brian had to go home and clean all of his guns and re-oil them, which was fantastic.
Oh, but I did more. Hold on a sec.
That sounds like a lot already, George.
I came home and had to take my Smith & Wesson shield down to the workbench because apparently I shoot it too fast because the dots on the front and rear sights keep popping out and disappearing. So to fix it, I decided to take some white paint and use a paper clip, dip it in the end, and then just kind of put a couple drops into the holes where they're supposed to go. This time I decided just to leave the rear out. So it's got a completely black rear with a white dot on the front. The reason I chose white was because that's the only color of nail polish that I could find in my wife's bag that didn't make me look stupid.
Yeah. See, I'm not the only one that borrows his wife's nail polish.
He reloaded a couple hundred rounds, and I watched him do that while I cleaned those guns. I loaded a couple hundred rounds myself, shooting some dot drills, and then Sean sharpened a couple of my knives for me.
Oh, but that's not all I did. One more. Facebook only lets you record a minute audio, so hold on a second. Last one.
say, if anybody wants to get a knife sharpening kit, I watched him use the Spyderco sharpening system, and wow, it took my knife. I mean, it's like a lightsaber now. Just the easiest way to put it. I was cutting wire today, stripping some wires, putting in a new light because I'm handy like that. You know, George is handy like that. But went through and was using my knife that he sharpened for me, and it was cutting through it like butter. I couldn't believe it. So Spyderco sharpening system, completely endorsed by Brian Sheets. So. That was really it. Like I said, dot drills, dry fire practice, just doing some stuff, just getting on the ball, getting ready for some of these classes that are coming up. They're going to be a good time.
And it's always better to be cutting wire than pushing rope, so that's all I have to say on that.
You were busy, George.
I know. Like, who knew? Who knew?
And quite honestly, that weather that he was talking about, he and I were talking about the fact that every time that Brian goes out and does something, when we're there, it's like a rainstorm, a typhoon, whatever. And I was blaming him.
His weather just rolled into London. It's been snowing all day. I just took the dog out before we started recording, and it's now raining.
Yeah, it's it just started here actually about 5 minutes ago. Yeah. So, yeah, this snow crap, yeah, it can go away.
Bring back the global warming.
Yeah. Anyways, so is that everything you did with guns?
Let me just double check my guns. Yep, that's it.
You didn't get another one?
Well, there was some off the record stuff, you know, just bromance stuff. So,
okay,
just keep that between him and I. But nope, that's all I did.
What about you, Kelly?
I was on a couple podcasts this week. Not only ours, but we also Thomas and I. We went on one with Brian and Ken. So we announced what was going on with the charity shoot. So that was lots of fun.
Scooped our own show.
Yeah, Modern Rifleman Radio, right. We did. They announced that Mike was coming on before we got our show out. Which was fine. Mike rolled with it. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, Brian did a great interview.
He did do a great interview, and we really appreciate both Modern Rifleman Radio and also Slamfire for really chatting up the charity shoot, too. So it's awesome. And that, I went to SFRC on Saturday. Good figure. Surprise, right? I was looking for Amlock Quick Disconnect. Not the Quick Disconnect. Well, I still want one of those, too, but also a sling mount. A Magpul one. They don't have any. So I don't know what I'm going to do. We'll see what we can. I've jerry-rigged some stuff anyway, so it's working right now. But I still need to figure out how I'm going to get a sling mount, because they don't know when they're going to be getting any, and so I'll check out somebody else.
Another option is, Jake, you can actually go on Modern Rifleman Radio's website, click on the Brownells link on their page, and you can order directly from Brownells.
I can, but it's only like, what, $20?
Yeah, so shipping will be $20, so yeah.
Well, no, I have to bring it up to about $100, right?
Yeah, probably.
So I gotta, anyways, I'll figure something out, but yeah. What else? We did get some, or I did get some new rings for my scope. You guys knew that I got the Magpul stock for my 1022, right?
Did you have to go for higher or lower rings?
Had to go. So originally I had really high rings. I had the highest ones. And then those didn't work. So switched it out for another set of rings that I had here. But those were the low rings. And yeah, those didn't work either. So got a medium pair of rings and they work perfectly.
Excellent.
So, right. So, yep, they work. Went to the range today and sighted in my rifle. And it is awesome. Totally, like, oh. Yeah, I should have switched out the stock a while ago. Stock makes everything so sturdy.
Well, it's just a lot more rigid platform. Before you had the the guts of the 1022 on top of a chassis, so you've got movement there as well. So now that everything's rock solid, your group should be really good.
The groups, so yeah, started sighting in the rifle, and took a couple of rounds to sight it in. And once I got it sighted in, Kevin's looking through the scope to see where I'm shooting. And he's going, I didn't see where you were shooting. I said, I was shooting at the center of the four. I said, I got five shots in the center of the four, one after another, right in the middle of the, like it's the same hole. And he's going, yeah, okay, anyways. I said, I like this. And he's going, and I said, everything's so much, it's solider. And my groupings are very tight. And he's going, great, yeah. He goes, I like the fact that I was just that much better than you. And he goes, now he's going, damn it. But no, I'm going to love this 1022 with the new stock. Love it.
It looks good. Is that a fake camera you have in the front? Or?
It is. That was the one that I had on one with the ATI stock. It made it look all tactical, right?
Yeah, it does look cool.
It does look cool. The problem is we had cut off the front sight. It's a little sharp, so I might have to... when we take that off, there's still the front sight that is a little bit sticking up. So it's a little...
Now, is the can threaded, or is it just a press-on fit with the locking screw? Kelly?
Did we lose Kelly?
No, you didn't lose me.
Okay.
I moved my computer. Anyways, okay. So it's not threaded, not nothing. It just slips on over the barrel. So, and you just... You can pull it off at any time. So, but yeah, the front sight, it's sharp because it's been cut off with a hacksaw.
you want to hear a funny Kevin story?
Can we put this on the
episode? Yeah, you can put it on the air. It's cute. And, when we were...
Everyone just
stops and holds their breath.
Thomas
It's nice. It's nice. He said something very nice, actually. When we were up at your place a couple of months ago, Kevin dropped me off. We were talking in the car, and he said, it used to be Kevin Latham and his girlfriend Kelly all the time. Everybody talked about Kevin and his girlfriend Kelly. He goes, things have changed nowadays. He goes, now it's Kelly Lynn and her boyfriend Kevin. Kevin's no longer the person bringing his girlfriend. It's now the girlfriend bringing Kevin along. I thought that was kind of cute. So he created the monster.
He didn't create a monster.
He got you hooked onto podcast. He got you hooked onto shooting. Then he got you into podcasting. And now you're on multiple podcasts. You're doing your own women's show. You're a super active shooter. So I think he's a happy man.
Sure.
He wanted you to get into guns, and you sure got into them.
And I'm guessing that was an approved story because you took out the edit point.
I did. I'm going, oh God, what are you going to say, Thomas?
Thomas,
no, I thought it was nice that he said it.
Yeah.
He's very proud of you.
I know he is, and he's very happy about the fact that I am enjoying shooting. So, because it's something that he enjoys too. So, it's something we can do together.
Yeah, now if you can buy your own guns, you'd be even happier.
Hey, I can buy my own guns.
You can.
I just been getting the girlfriend discount, that's all. And not so, so quite honestly, yeah. I've been buying my own ammo. I've even, been buying some ammo for Kevin and all that, and guns are the next thing. So I'm gonna be trying to figure out what works for me. Hey, does anybody have a CZ Shadow?
No.
I've had one.
I know someone that's got a talker off that they're not using.
I'll lend it to you. It's a really good one shot.
Single shot.
Now, I'm just wondering if you guys had one. So if you did, bring it to the charity shoot. I'll try it out there.
Peter's actually coming, and he has a shadow. I'll get him to bring a shadow. It's got a really nice trigger on it. Mm. I'm sure you'll see a few shadows at the charity shoot. They're popular.
I'm sure I will. I'll try them out. I'm just, thinking about that. Anyways.
We were also thinking about a 1911, which kind of confused me, too.
Well, Kevin gave me his 1911. A couple of weeks ago. A week ago.
And there's silence among them.
But, yeah, I tried it out last week, and it was okay.
I recall you saying you loved it.
No, I actually really liked our friend Chris's 1911. I like Kevin's too, but yeah. I really liked his VTAC. I was shooting that last weekend. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a nice gun.
And I was done shooting and goes, no, you're not getting
it. Well, he just got it back from, it was out being repaired for a couple of months. He only got it back, I think, that week when we were up at the at your place last month. He was having problems with the mag sticking, so they opened up the mag well a little bit for him.
Yeah, that was one of the things, but his sights also fell off, right? So he got those replaced as well. He had a few things done to it, so it had to go out to BC because that's where the Smith & Wesson place was that he had to send it to. So,
it's anyways. Sharp-looking gun.
It's a nice-looking gun. Feels good, too.
All right, anything else before we move on to guns in the news? Nope? Okay, so guns in the news. Was there anything else?
No.
Take it away, Kelly. Story one.
Ottawa police guns and gang strategy under fire. Critics are questioning an Ottawa police decision to take its most visible anti-gang officers off the street at a time when the capital is on track to hit record numbers for gun-related homicides. The Direct Action Response Team, or DART, is responsible for monitoring gang members. They do traffic stops and drop in unannounced on the homes of known gang members and drug dealers to ensure they're abiding by their parole and bail conditions. Yeah, sure. Anyways, if conditions are broken, they're arrested. But since December 1st, DART officers have been removed from doing proactive checks on gangsters. Instead, for the past 4 months, as part of the strategy to make more arrests, the 6 DART officers have been reassigned to a reactive role investigating shootings. Critics charge the move takes the heat off of gang members. It's well known to engaging in criminal activity that the unit isn't around. So basically they're saying that the gang members know that the unit's not around to watch them. Says Ottawa Police Association President Matt Scoff. He says the move is emboldening gang members. Once it's not visible to them, there's a feeling they're not being watched or scrutinized. Since DART officers were moved into investigative roles last December, there have been 23 shootings and 5 young people have been shot dead. The number of homicides involving guns in the first 3 months of the year has already surpassed all of 2015. The most recent victim was 24-year-old Christina Volzing, who was killed in a crossfire between 2 shooters on Easter Sunday. Police say the other 4 people gunned down, Mohammed Najdi and Marwar Arab and Taylor Morrow Flint and Nuruddin Hassan, has ties to the gangs or city's low-level gun trade. So, that being said, basically they're taking the DART off the street and they're putting them in more proactive roles, they say. I don't know exactly what a proactive role would be other than... What do you guys think proactive roles would be?
Well, I think what it said, they made them a reactive role instead of being proactive with the program.
Correct.
Well, I'm sitting here going, so you take the heat off criminals and what happens... Oh, that's right. They become criminals, even more so. It's just stupid politicians being stupid.
So you know,
they would have been more proactive, like the DART program is supposed to be. There may not have been an innocent bystander getting shot.
Well, the last paragraph says it perfectly. In the first 3 months, the violence has already surpassed all of last year. So clearly... Being reactive isn't working. Being proactive does work. Wow. What a brilliant thought. Nobody could have thought of that scenario working out.
Well, I wonder who actually
Removed
the program.
Anyone that's got an ounce of common sense knows if you're proactive and cut the problem off before it becomes a problem, you don't end up with a problem. Anyways, sorry. I'm taking my finger off my go button. I've been on the show for a while. It's
reactive means
lid closed.
Reactive means that they're basically reacting to whatever anybody is doing. Proactive means they're preventing it from happening. So You're right, George.
I never get tired of hearing that.
Don't hear it often.
Oh, that's the problem. I hear it all the time.
Yeah, but talking to yourself doesn't count.
No. Okay, I'm going to scroll for a moment. My dad, I can't remember what my dad and I were talking about, and he's like, yeah, you know, you're right. And Wanda, I thought Wanda was going to crawl all over him. She's like, geez, well, you don't ever say that to him. And my dad's like, why? He'll never fit his head through the doorway. I turned to her and I said, you say it all the time. That's why I always think I'm right. So,
anyways.
All right. I think Wanda referred to it as poking the angry bear.
Tell me that I'm always right. Was that poking the angry bear?
It's not. Let's move on.
So, story two, Thomas.
Story two actually comes from listener Ian Thompson's Facebook page. We all remember Ian was involved in that self-defense shooting 5 or 6 years ago. And he posted on his page that on August 22nd, 2010, I used a firearm to defend my life and faced firearms-related charges. Despite being told that there was no chance of a conviction, the Crown prosecutor proceeded with the charges, and after a 2.5-year trial and over $60,000 in legal fees and other related costs, I was acquitted on all the charges. If anyone in Canada has faced firearms-related charges that were government-pursued, the victim, you, not the criminal, please contact me at the following email address. So Ian would like anybody who's had malicious prosecution to contact him. And it is Ian Thompson, IanThomson, period, or dot, lawful.gun@gmail.com. And if you go on to his Facebook page, you'll see the link there. So Ian's asking for anybody else who's had a similar run in with the prosecutor to contact him. That's it. It was a slow news week this week. There wasn't a lot in there. It's been really quiet in Canada. Quiet.
Well, no news is good news, right?
Could be.
Okay, so what's new in the industry?
Well, New Shooter Canada, we've decided to temporarily change our What's New in the Industry segment over the next few months to What's New with our Sponsor segment instead, as a way of thanking our sponsors for helping us achieve our goal of making this the most successful charity shoot ever. This week featured sponsors are Trigger Wholesale. TWI at first promised us just a Yukon Model 41 shotgun. A few months later, they messaged us and offered us two guns instead. The new BR-99 semi-automatic 12-gauge shotgun, as well as the Model 41, has arrived.
Excellent, and they're in my safe, and I've been itching to play with that BR-99.
No.
So whoever wins the BR-99, inspect it to see if Thomas has shot it yet.
I haven't shot it. I did play with the choke tube, so.
Why are you?
It's a nice looking gun, tubes. It really is. I just want to see if it had the same choke tubes as the 41 had. But if you go on Trigger Wholesale's, they're a distributor, they're not a retailer, so you can't actually buy anything from Trigger Wholesale. But if you go on their webpage, they list all their the firearms currently in stock. And they just got another big shipment of USCON BR-9 variants, and they're all camo dip with adjustable stocks, and they look pretty cool. So he posted a lot of pictures on Facebook a couple of days ago. So have a look at their website. If you see anything you like, just contact one of the local retailers.
Right. They carry the Charter Arms as well.
They do.
The revolvers. And they also carry the FMK firearms, the ones that come in Tiffany blue.
And they've been carrying some of the Black Hill ammunition. I want to try some of the 9mm, see how it functions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You don't see a lot of that stuff up here. It's really hard to find.
Yeah, I'm looking at the prices of it. I'm going, whew, that's a little steep.
Yeah, it's premium ammo, especially the centerfire rifle stuff. It's not cheap.
Mm-hmm. The 223 40 grain. 1,000 rounds for $1,377.99.
Well, yeah, I think that's more of a competition or high-grade ammo.
Anyways.
All right, Thomas, how about NAS? What's NAS got going on?
Well, NAS is also one of our sponsors, and they have a grand opening happening on Saturday, April the 23rd at 10 o'clock. A new store is located at 726 Queen Street East in Sault Ste. Marie. I checked, it's a 7.5-hour drive, so I don't think I'm going to the grand opening of their store, but I did get an invite. That is followed by a meet and greet at 7 p.m. with drinks and appetizers served at the Machine Shop, which is located at 75 Huron Street. And then on Saturday at 10 o'clock, there'll be three shooting events taking place at the Practical Shooting Range Association. They're going to have a Black Badge IPSC event. First place wins a 9mm pistol. And the second event is a long-range rifle competition. First place wins a Savage rifle and scope. Then they have a youth 22 long-range rifle shoot, and the first place in that one wins a Mendoza Puma 22 rifle. And all second and third place winners of all the stages get NAS gift certificates. So you're up in the Sioux. Check out their website and go get some shooting done.
That's cool.
Probably got a pretty good chance of winning. Like, not a whole lot of people up there. more bears than people up there.
Who was that listener that was at the Maple Seed and he drove like 9 hours away?
Grant.
So he might be able to go. It's close to
his. I think it's even a long drive for him because I think he's near Concord somewhere.
Yeah, he is. Hi, Grant.
He's up where the polar bears are.
He's way up.
The black bears go, damn, that's too cold up there. Forget that. I stay in the south.
Yeah. All right.
Isn't that great having me back on?
On.
Yeah, you just call me Coach.
My circus and my monkeys.
So many edit points. Not that bad. Okay. Main topic, and this week it's going to be our new co-host. This is his baby, so I will kick it over to Mike and take it away, Mike.
All right. Tonight's main topic is about going to the range for your first time by yourself. For some people like myself, I had no friends or family to go to take me to the range for the first time. Yeah, I know it's sad. I have no friends.
No family.
So going to the range the first time by yourself can be a really daunting task. You have no idea what you're doing, really. So it's just some things to take into consideration. For example, when I went for the very first time, I pulled up. I literally bought my gun, my brand new 22 rifle from the store that was at the range about 5 minutes before I was down at the range shooting it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't even bring a gun to the range. You actually bought the gun at the range.
I brought a pair of earmuffs that I use for cutting the grass. And yeah, I think that was about it. Everything else, I just walked into the store and said, I want to shoot. And they said, here's your bill.
Here's my credit card. Give me something that goes bang.
Pretty much. So I went down to the range for the very first time. I really didn't know any of the procedures for shooting at a range like that. When I was there, there was at one point, I remember we were doing a target change, and they cleared the whole line and everything, and I was ready to go down to do my target change, and right when he said line's clear, and I realized, oh, I don't have my stapler. So I stepped forward to grab my stapler, and I remember getting yelled at for that, which was very interesting experience for your first time going and getting yelled at. I admit I was in the wrong because I went in front of the red line they had painted on the ground when the line was already called clear. But it's just some things like that you should know before you go to a range.
No, didn't your range have like a new shooter night or something to go over all the rules and the procedures with you?
Nope. This range, I'm not there anymore. It's a public range. So you can just show up, pay your money, and sign the book and go down and shoot.
Okay. So they take, well, obviously, you take safety very seriously at the ranges, right? You had an RSO working the line that day, right?
It was a self-appointed RO, I'll call him.
Okay. All right.
Well, there has to be.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was someplace that you could just pay and you could go. So you didn't need to have a club-level ATT course, because this is something that ranges tend to want you to do, like a club-level safety course before you actually go, before you bring any firearms. They also look at you coming to the range to meet people, different things like that, right?
Yep.
So nothing like that happened. You just went to, it was a public one, so you just went there to pay and shoot, right?
Yep. The guy at the store said, "Oh, with the purchase of a gun, you get to shoot today for free."
Awesome.
Now, I have to ask, what first new rifle did you get?
I bought the Ruger 10/22.
Good choice.
And that was, I do not buy a gun without doing a lot of research. I probably, and especially being my first one and not really knowing what I was getting into, I probably researched it for, I don't guess, almost 2 months before I went and bought that gun. So.
Okay. Did you research the range just as much, or did you...
I researched enough to know that I could go shoot with the purchase of a gun.
Okay. All right. So, did you go by yourself, or did you go with Sarah?
Sarah came with me.
Okay, so what was the experience like for Sarah as well? Did she have the same reaction to being yelled at?
I think so, yeah. She definitely didn't warm up to the idea of going shooting as fast as I did. She did still enjoy shooting, but I think it kind of gave us a bit of what we thought that the range might be like on an everyday basis.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so... Did you regularly shoot at that range, or did you choose a different range after that?
We regularly shot there for, I think, about 2 years.
Okay.
And then just this last year, we changed ranges.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And then even when I think of that range, when I changed range, I had to do, like you said, the new shooter orientation course.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a classroom portion where we sat down and we went through the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about some of the... They kind of just went, skimmed through the whole little book, which was point form to begin with, and then you just had to go down to the, we went down to the range all together and had one shot, 10 rounds, and it was just...
Piece of paper.
Yeah, just to prove, like, I think everyone shot the same target. They didn't care where you hit, they just wanted to see that you weren't flailing the gun around or doing anything dumb.
Right.
And even when I think of that, I think if that was my first experience and I was going to go back to that range for the first time, there's definitely a lot that's left out to be desired to know about your first trip to the range.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So they just, so, yeah, so you did the club level ATT, it sounds like, at the new range that you went to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, and, but there was still a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
No instruction. So the first time that you went to the range, you had no instruction whatsoever. They just said, go ahead and shoot.
Well, after I did that club level introductory course.
Right. After at the new range.
Yeah, at the new range. After that, it was just, you're free. Do what you want.
Okay. Can I take you back to the original place when you bought the 10/22?
Yep.
Did anybody give you instruction or anything on the range or explain any rules whatsoever? Or did they just say, go ahead and shoot?
They just said, go down range and shoot.
Okay.
There was a board that had all 500 or whatever club rules they have there.
Uh-huh.
And I did read it, but when you have 500 rules, you tend to forget a few.
They should have actually had some type of handout where, you know, basic range commands are there, so when you get there, at least you know what you have to do when you're on the range. There should be something for a new person so they're not put in the situation that you're put in.
Yeah.
So a lot of private ranges, they'll arrange, they have strict requirements. For example, I know at both Frontenac and Brockville, you have to do probationary shoots as well. You have to go in with somebody who knows either an RO or whatever, basically an RO, and they're to actually monitor and make sure that you are safe with your handguns and safe with your rifles, and they'll sign off on it before you are able, you have to do your probationary shoots. And they also give you both waivers and also the rules for the range. So that's something that's expected at most ranges, I believe.
Most private ranges too, even Silverdale, if you go as a guest or go during the day, they still have an RO come down there with you, and all the rules are displayed and everything has to be followed. So
right.
It doesn't sound like a very safe setup to me where you went.
Yeah.
Well, you would have to think that if you're competent enough to get a license to own and purchase firearms, I'm not sure why it would be incompetent to assume that person would be safe to purchase said firearm, take it to a range, and shoot it, right?
There's a lot of people that can actually pass a written test, and they can also purchase a gun, but they're not very safe when they go to the range.
If you notice, in the firearm safety course, there are no range rules or protocols in the book.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, no, but you're still, my point is, I'm not sure I would just lambaste a, because with my court or with my club, they may do it differently now. I've been a member there for like 5 years, but I did the orientation night. They went over the club rules, and that was it. Thank you for your check. Your membership's in the mail. Gate code and pistol house code will be with your stuff, and thank you for being a member.
Right, so they don't require a club level ATT, but at least they went.
Well, that's for that was for the long guns, right?
Right.
The club for the ATTs they make you do it. But like Mike went and got a 10/22 and went straight to the firing line, right?
Right, but he didn't have anybody reviewing any rules or anything with him.
Right.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So what else did you think about that you needed to bring? Because all you brought were your earmuffs, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Earmuffs and I think a pair of sunglasses that I figured, yeah, these will protect me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what types of things do you think that a new shooter should bring to the range?
Well, I think something important that I've forgotten. Stapler and targets. Oh.
Definitely.
Yeah. And when you bring a stapler, also make sure you have staples. Nothing sucks more than being all the way down at the 100-yard range to realize I'm out of staples.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're bringing targets, make sure you bring some backers as well.
Yeah.
Because, I went out today and we had to bring our own, some ranges provide them and some don't. So bring some backers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pizza box left over from the night before can even work, right?
Yep. As long as you got that staple gun.
Yep.
Yep.
Right. What else?
In the summer, especially sunscreen and bug spray.
Oh, yeah.
I've visited a few ranges where bug spray was necessary, not just optional.
Yeah, my range is like that. If you want the outdoor range, we're right beside a swamp. You better bring some bug spray.
Yeah. That, and if you're going to be spending a day out in the sun, you're going to want sunscreen, otherwise you're going to be coming home red.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Other things not to forget, which I admit I've done, forgetting your magazines for your gun.
Yes, I've done that.
Yep. And then you realize that you find out that your gun had a magazine disconnect.
Okay.
Yeah, like my Ruger Mark III.
Yep. Yep, some other things you might want to consider bringing would be something like a spotting scope or binoculars if you're shooting more than 25 yards away, especially with small 22s, harder to see those bullet holes. Hearing protection and eye protection, that should be obvious, mandatory for every time you go to the range. And I oftentimes, when I bring someone to the range for the first time, especially when shooting handguns, I always recommend to wear a baseball hat. Just to protect their face from brass coming down.
I was shooting at the Northumberland Club one time, and I'd taken my hat off, but I had my safety glasses, and the .45 bounced straight up, bounced off the beam, came right down right behind my safety glasses in front of my eyelid. So I always wear a hat now when I'm shooting.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
I would go one step further, clothing wise. Wear something with a high collar. Wear a t-shirt. Don't have any shirts with any buttons down, especially women, because hot brass down the cleavage is not a good thing.
Yeah. Most of my guests have been male, so I don't expect them to be wearing any low-cut shirts. I don't judge, but...
It's a new age.
It's a new age.
Yeah.
I just make sure I wear a t-shirt. I don't wear anything with buttons, or my neck's always covered up.
Oh, yeah. Yep, good idea. Do you guys have any other ideas?
Water.
Go ahead, Thomas.
My club, the water is not drinkable at the range because it's swamp water. You put the tap on to wash your hands, it stinks. So I always bring lots of bottled water when I go to the range.
Yeah.
And I also like
Me too.
I also like to bring a small toolkit. especially if you got a new gun for the first time, something with an assortment of different slotted screwdrivers so you can adjust your sights or your scope. You make sure you use the right size bit because nothing worse than chewing up your screw bits or your screw heads with the wrong size bit. I also start carrying, I bought a pin kit with a hammer and a tap, so if I have to knock over those rear sights and adjust it, I bring anything I can that I'm going to use if I have to adjust the gun at all. So screwdrivers, something to tap the rear sights over, multi-tools good.
Do you bring that every time or just when you're bringing a gun out for the first time? Every time, okay.
I have a range box I take with me all the time. It's got all my screwdrivers in it. It's got my squib rod. Because the minute I don't bring it is when I need it.
Yep.
But it's gotten smaller over the years. I used to have this big, massive 50-pound range bag. It's too much to carry around. So just the basic stuff now I keep in a toolbox in the car all the time. So it's always with me, so I never forget it.
Yep. I have a range bag. Everything's in it. Same thing consistently every week, so I know what's there.
Yeah.
Where it is as well, I repack it the same way every week so that everything's consistent. I know where it is. I bring snacks. I also bring pencil and pen because if you're doing, maybe you have to do some shifting with your MOA. So I bring a pen and pencil and a pad of paper. I also bring patches. So if you're shooting, just to cover up what you've already shot. And I tend to dress for the weather, but it also depends on, like today. Today was wonderful. It was a really nice day to go out. It was like probably +2, +3. I had on a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, and I had a jacket. And then I took off my jacket, and then I put my jacket back on, and then I put gloves on, and then I took the gloves off, and then I put on a heavier set of gloves. Anyways, so
dress for it.
You dress for it, right? And Thomas, you were saying that the water's not drinkable at your range. So I also put wipes in my bag because I like to, if I'm going to be eating or anything like that, I wipe my hands down in between
Because
of the lead and everything and getting all the gross stuff off. And one of the other things that we carry with us as well is we want to make sure that if we're shooting, we're shooting at the correct distance and different things like that. So we bring a measuring tape. You know those old school ones that you had in grade school?
Big spool ones.
Yeah, you know, and you spin it, and it's on this big blue thing that, anyways. Yep.
Great sound effects.
You like that?
Oh, it explained it perfectly.
Yep.
One that goes poosh.
Anyways, so we have that because we staple it to the target stand, and then we run out 25 meters, 100 meters, whatever it is, and then we just wheel it back in. But that's one of the things, too. Mats. Do you guys always bring your mats?
If I'm shooting the rifle, I bring the mat.
Mm-hmm.
We do have mats at the clubhouse that you can use, so it's not always a big deal, but Mom got me a nice mat for Christmas. A good point about the pencil, too. I forgot, I do keep a pencil in my range box, but not for taking notes. If I have to adjust a rear sight that's strictly drift adjustable, there's nothing on the elevation, I'll actually take the pencil and I'll draw a line where the sight meets the frame. So that way I can see how much I physically move the sight by marking it first.
Right. And that, George, what do you also bring?
You guys have pretty much, I was going to say the wipes. That's one thing I've recently added to my kit. And for the same reasons as you, Kelly, just to kind of clean up the hands and get some of that residue off.
The only other thing I would suggest is that
I still have the floor, man. Still have the floor.
Okay, keep going.
And I'm done. Go ahead.
You put it in here.
The thing I hate in the club level or in the firearm safety book is that they want you to look down the barrel of a firearm to see that there's no obstruction in the barrel. Uh-huh. Don't do that. I have a small plastic rod that I can physically just run down the bore, or I have a small bore light. You shine that light down the muzzle, you should be able to see that light in the action. If you don't see any light in the action, then you obviously have an obstruction, but please don't stick the gun to your face and look down the barrel to have an obstruction. Have a little rod that you can just run down the barrel.
I brought that up in our course, and I said to our instructor, I'm like, Something seems really wrong about sticking your eye over the barrel of a gun. And her response is, well, you've already checked for the magazine, that there's no magazine, and you've already checked the feeding path. So you've already made it prove safe, or whatever the slogan they use. I'm like, still, looking down the barrel of a gun just feels really wrong, and you guys are teaching this.
Because you're sweeping yourself with the gun, which is something you don't ever want to do. You don't want to sweep somebody else. You don't want to sweep yourself. So why would you purposely sweep yourself with the gun?
And if you do it in your practical exam, if you sweep yourself, it's an automatic fail.
Yeah.
Yet they teach you to look down the barrel. Like, how ridiculous is this?
In my range, over every shooting station, there is a plastic rod that you can check down the barrel. So all the newbies, they go to look down the barrel and say, no, there's the rod, just use the rod.
Yeah.
So somebody else threw something else in here. Was that you, Mike?
Yeah, a first aid kit.
Awesome!
Yeah, because you get a lot of boo-boos when you go to the range.
I can already see RJ giving Mike the thumbs up.
Well, I'd like to say that my first aid kit included like a tourniquet and battle gauze and all the tactical fun stuff, but mine has mostly just band-aids and tape and things like that. Yeah, so when you get your finger caught on something, you get a sliver, things like that. You put
Did it have Hello Kitty band-aids?
No, it did not have Hello Kitty. I don't have kids yet.
I'm disappointed.
Well, I got Batman band-aids if you want one.
All right, on that note.
It's a good point, though, because I have sliced up my trigger finger and I didn't have a Band-Aid and I couldn't shoot for the rest of the day, so I always carry Band-Aids in my range bag.
You should carry a first aid kit, but also know the address of the range. Have a cell phone that works as well. Let people know that you're going to the range and when you expect to be back. It's probably, especially if you're going by yourself. Some ranges don't get a lot of traffic, right?
True.
Great. So let people know that you're going to the range and when to expect you back so that they can, you know, it's been 10 hours and Johnny hasn't come home from the range yet. I don't know why.
Well, Johnny's effed if it's been 10 hours.
I would suggest is that when you're going to and from the range, just be aware of your surroundings. You know, you're walking with guns and all kinds of stuff. So just depending where the range is, just be aware of your surroundings going to and from the range. You never know who could be. We back on to a Scugog Town Road, and a lot of people park their cars at the back and go hiking through there. So I always just make sure that there's nobody out there when I'm coming. And we got a big peephole. So I always make sure there's nobody
out there. Oh, God, we're not going there. can I ask a question?
No.
About, yes, no. All right,
sure.
Fine.
What's the question?
I forgot it now. No. So do the ranges that you have right now that you go to, you have a safe work area and an area for anything else, like your ammo and all that? All of your ranges have that, right?
They all have to have a safe area.
Right. Yes. And you load, you unpack your rifles there.
No. Safe areas usually is if there's a problem with the gun, you can work on the gun in the safe area with no ammunition present.
No, there's no ammo, but your range doesn't tell you have to actually encase there.
No, my range you have to encase with muzzle pointed down range, as all ranges should be.
Mm-hmm. So again, different rules for different ranges. So just know what your range rules are.
Yeah.
Yeah, ours we unpack at the firing line. There's no big deal there. We have the safe area too, where there's no ammunition allowed.
Yeah. All right. What does everybody? One more thing, bring into the range. So, what does everybody wear for shoes and pants and shirts and different things?
Most comfortable thing you have.
Okay.
Some running shoes that give you some good support. If it's really hot out, bring some shorts, but keep a pair of pants in the car just in case. There's nothing worse than hot brass in your legs.
I'm barefoot in a Speedo.
God, that's a sight.
Oh, God.
Just call me George.
I need a break now.
Right. So, yeah, just dress for it as well. Again, make sure it's comfortable. Make sure that you have a little bit of tread to your shoes, right? Yep. No skateboard shoes.
Oh, especially if you're competing, you definitely want to have some really good sneakers with some good traction on the bottom.
Yep.
Right. on that, but pants. Pants that fit.
I usually keep a pair of boots in the car, too, because my range gets awfully wet downrange sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I keep rain boots in my truck, too, just for that.
So, rain gear, awesome idea, because you never know. Canada, either snowing, raining, or sunshine.
Or
you can have all three in 5 minutes.
Which has happened.
Right. Yeah, just make sure that you're dressing for the weather. Yep. So, other than that, anybody else think of anything else that they need to bring in their range bag? A nice, good range bag.
Yep. And you don't have to spend a lot of money for a range bag. You can go to Canadian Tire and get one of those great big plastic hat cases or whatever you want. But just make a habit of bringing it with you every time you go to the range.
Shopping bags from Costco.
They don't work. When you slam on the brake, everything goes flying out.
I know.
One thing I do want to bring up, and it's kind of more on point of being brand new to shooting, and you know, the first few times you go out, if there's other people at the range, be conscious of how long you're at the firing line for. Don't sit there for a half hour just pounding away on rounds, because other people may want to go down, you know, 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever. So just kind of be conscious. If you see people standing behind the firing line away from their rifles, it's usually a good indication that they're ready to go downrange, swap targets, or check their targets and stuff. So don't be that guy that just sits there for a half hour banging off rounds. Don't be that guy.
Be conscious of your other shooters.
Well, communicate with everybody. Hey, is it okay if I go downrange? Going green? You know, or going hot?
Yeah.
Just communicate.
Well, and, you know, I guess I'm kind of more of a, you know, be more aware of your surroundings. You know, people shouldn't have to be coming up to you every time they want to go downrange. Like, usually, like with our club, when it's a club RO running the pistol night, it's 10 rounds. You shoot 10 rounds, and then if there's a second squad, they'll, you know, you'll go down, pull your target, second squad will put theirs up. And is it 10 rounds or 20 rounds? I think it's 10 rounds. It's been a long time since I've been. But it's a set number of rounds. And after that, then it's the next squad, or it's a target change, right?
Yeah.
So it just keeps everything fresh. It keeps everything moving, and you don't have anyone. You know, you don't have that one guy that decides, you know, he's gonna, you know, plow through 1,000 rounds and then decide to get up from the firing line.
And courteous too.
Don't be that guy. People shouldn't have to come up to you and say, "Hey, listen, mind." Setting the gun down for a few minutes so we can go downrange. Should be proactive. See how I tie all this? Tying it right back to our previous story, right? Be proactive.
And if you're the RO, don't be a jerk.
unless it's anybody, to that guy. You can be a jerk to that guy.
Well, anybody can also call a ceasefire or anything like that, but if, you know, don't be an arse. We want people to continue shooting, not go away and say, "Oh my god, I can't believe people did that."
Yes, ROs will say something to the side to you, and then if there's a second infraction, then you're going to get it.
Yeah, but a lot of times, like with our range, there is no official RO. It's generally, if you get there and there's no one else shooting, you're basically the RO. And then if somebody else shows up, then the first person is basically the RO, and until they leave, and then, you know, then somebody else will take it over. And then you get people like me that's, you know, not terribly shy and has no problem speaking up. But, well, you
know,
as
I
like,
know, from the CFO rules, there has to be an RO at all times. So once one person, another person shows up, somebody has to be the RO.
Yes.
That's what I just said. Yeah. If you show up by yourself and no one else is there, by default, you become the RO.
Yep.
So the next person that comes in, if there's somebody that was there before you, you're not the RO because somebody else was already there in charge of the line, right? Did I not explain that clearly?
No,
not you at all. Did.
Yeah.
You explained it clearly.
Thomas is just old.
Yes.
I'm calling shenanigans.
Hey, that's my thing. So, again, don't be that guy.
All right.
Oh, and one more thing. Just, you know, the horse is almost dead. I just want to kick it a couple more times. If you see somebody packing up their rifle, that's a great indication that they're probably ready to go and grab their targets. So don't be that guy. That makes that person wait even longer, because clearly they're ready to go. Okay, the horse is dead. It's ready for the glue factory.
Are we done?
Horse is.
Good topic, Mike.
Thanks.
Remember, don't be that guy.
Come on, lead host.
Oh, I'm laying down on my futon. Maybe I should sit up so I can see the show notes.
Welcome back, George.
I was just kicking it right back. All right, so that brings us to events. Charity shoot registration is now open and has been for quite some time.
Mm-hmm, and it's going very well.
Is that only 3 spots left for RJ? Is that up to date?
It is up to date. We still have a couple of spots for his... maybe 2.
Maybe 2.
Maybe 2. Actually, 2.
So the answer would be no, George. It's not up to date because there's only 2 and it says 3 in the show notes.
So sign up, because if there's an empty spot, we're going to take them, but we want to leave them open to anybody else first. So if you want to take RJ course, sign up.
Yeah, I was originally signed up, but I backed out because RJ is local to me. So I've got like 3-4 months to take the course, so that way I figured the spot will be open up for somebody else that maybe
traveling a distance?
Traveling to the charity shoot already, but not going to have plans to travel to London for the course. So
there might not be any courses in London for a while.
All right, so on that note, there's 2 spots, maybe 3. So sign up.
Like throwing it in, you know, non-important information times.
It's for the Friday shoot.
Tango Yankee Project. Those are the coins that RJ was on not long ago talking about. And he's going to be selling them during the charity shoot. 100% of chip sales. Is it 100% of the chip sales or the proceeds? Probably the proceeds.
Proceeds,
because the man's got to cover his costs, right?
Yeah.
Donated to Soldier On, so that's very generous. And we have a link for the Tango Yankee Project, which will be in the show notes, as always. And a YouTube link, which there's no description of what it is, so I'm assuming...
It's Daniel Shaw.
Okay.
It's him talking about it. Yeah.
Excellent. So, does somebody else want to take over? Do you want me to keep going?
Oh, you're doing great.
Excellent. Fantastic. Let's just keep it rolling here. All right, so Saturday charity shoot is $35. That is open to everyone. Register before May 1st, and you get a free T-shirt. Come on, folks. Get your registrations and get that T-shirt. It's going to be a fantastic T-shirt. Not available to come. Oh, if you're not available to come. That's right, Colt. I'm getting through this. If you're not available to come... but want a chance to win the OozeCon 41 and get your free T-shirt, just send your $35 and you will be entered into the draw. And you'll get your T-shirt somehow. So, you can sign up at newshootercanada.ca or visit New Shooter Canada on Facebook, or message us and we can send you the link. And do you send these emails, you may ask? Well, I am about to tell you right now. You send your EMT and questions to newshootercanada@gmail.com. That's newshootercanada@gmail.com. I'm getting into this.
It's like you're on a late night show.
I know. That's exactly how I'm reading it. It's like I'm a late night infomercial. This is fantastic. I miss being on this show.
Wait, not only do you get a free T-shirt, but you get entered into the OozeCon 41 draw. That's right, not one thing, but 2 things.
And it's important. You must get your registration in before May 1st. The cutoff is May 1st. Your deadline is May 1st. And to enter and to get your registration in, it's newshootercanada@gmail.com. I'll say that one more time, newshootercanada@gmail.com.
Right.
$35.
Good deal.
May 1st.
Yeah. Lots of prizes. Get your
T-shirt.
Right. If you register by May 1st, you'll get a free T-shirt. After May 1st, you can get T-shirts, but you're going to have to pay for them. Right?
Right.
Great. And you still get entered into the draw for the OozeCon 41. So, why don't you register early? You'll get a free T-shirt.
And that's a fun little shotgun. I've got one.
Yep.
All right. Do you want me to keep going? Okay, so the petition for the E111 petition, that's going to be for the AR-15 reclassification. The link will be in the show notes, as it has been in previous weeks, closing on Saturday, May 7th, with 22,606 signatures so far. So if you have not signed the e-petition, get your lazy butt into your recliner, get onto the laptop, click on the link, and sign it. Like, come on, people.
Yep.
Just, you gotta click a link and then tappy-tappy on your keyboard. Reclassify the AR-15 to non-restricted, which it should be. Okay, who's messing with the show notes?
I'll do it. Okay. I'll do events. Event number two, if you want to meet the guy who actually started the petition, Mr. Bob Zimmerman, MP, he will be at the CSSA Stick to Your Guns dinner on Saturday, May 14, 2016. Cocktails are at 6, dinner's at 7. It's being held at the Quality Hotel and Conference Center at 1011 Bloor Street East in Oshawa, Ontario. And I'm off that weekend, so I will be going. For more information, please visit the CSSA website.
Do we know how much that dinner is?
I think it's $69.
Yes, it is $69.99, but that's not in our show notes, but I know that because I looked it up.
Yeah. $69.
They usually all have right. Some nice guns for giveaways there, too.
Not my monkeys. Oh, God.
Any emails, just call Kelly? Me
George. I'm sorry, I thought George was the...
All right, so for more information, please visit the CSSA website, which, of course, isn't in the show notes. Right. So, I think it's just do a search for CELA-CSSA and you'll find it.
Okay.
Email from Gord Coolidge. Cartledge?
Claridge.
Last name.
Mike answered the email, so maybe, you know, Mike should probably read the email from him.
Hey, Mike, how about you take this email?
All right, lead host. Hello. I just stumbled across your podcast and wanted to send a quick message to say thank you. I have only listened to one so far, but it being the CCFR episode.
Oh, I apologize for everything. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
And after the brutal pronunciation of his last name, he may not continue to listen. And remember, Gort, that was Thomas that made the mistake with your name, not George.
Anyway,
go ahead, Mike. Continue on.
Thanks for what you guys are doing, as I am only getting into shooting this year. Your information is very useful. So far, some technical talk about firearms has gone over my head, but I'm sure I will catch on soon. I look forward to listening to the back catalog to catch up. Any articles or sites you may recommend to a new shooter? I am looking to get a shotgun to hunt deer with my family this fall, but I'm interested in handguns, AR, platform, and maybe getting into IDPA down the road. Keep up the good work. It sounds like this is exactly what I'm looking for. Gord.
Excellent. Thanks, Gord.
See, yeah, Mike was a smart one. He just stopped at Gord and tried the last name.
Well, I figured the guy might want some privacy, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't have said his last name either, but... Oh, well.
Yeah, so what did yes, you would have.
No, I wouldn't. I always say the first name.
Okay.
So what did you recommend to him, Mike?
Well, I said you can find a lot of good information on CGN, Canadian Gun Nuts, and Gun Owners of Canada. Like anything, it's a forum, so you got to take things with a grain of salt.
True.
Yeah. The other big thing that I found, where I'll admit I do 99% of my research, is YouTube. You just punch in, if you're looking for a gun, you punch it in, and bam, you'll have 100 reviews on it. Take your pick.
University of YouTube.
Yep.
I bolded something here. Sorry, whoever just took a breath and I cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off. Just want to touch on one thing he said. So far, some technical talk about firearms has been over my head, but I'm sure I'll catch on soon. This is kind of for everyone and anyone. The whole point of why I started this was exactly for that reason, because when I got into listening to podcasts, I knew nothing. I didn't even know what 45 ACP was. I knew it was a 45 caliber, but I had no clue what ACP was, let alone Colt or what, you know, stuff like that. So anyone listening, if there's something that we say or we talk about that goes over your head, that's why the show's here. So write in and say, hey, listen, episode whatever, you guys were talking about this, what the heck is that? And you can write in under my name and pretend you're me writing in if you feel it's going to be a silly question, because in case you haven't noticed, I'm not shy, and I make a fool of myself every time I'm on the show, so I have fun with it. So yeah, please, I can't hammer away enough. That's why we're here. If something's gone over somebody's head, write into the show. You can live vicariously through me. I do live vicariously through Brian, so hey, it's all kosher.
Mike, what else did you tell him?
I just talked about how pretty much that's the same way I went. I got a shotgun for hunting, for trapping skeet, and ended up going hunting deer with it. Pretty much also, I'll just talk to him a little bit about IDPA and getting into it. Just some websites on, like, IDPA. Oh, great, now I don't know what the website is. IDPA.com? I'll say Google IDPA, and you'll find the website. It'll be your first hit, I guarantee it. And you can go right on there, and there's actually a search engine right on there for find your local club. And it will find your local registered club.
Uh-huh. Yep. A good idea for him, too, is he's already reached out to podcast, right? So if he's asking or if he's looking at different guns, or he's maybe we could recommend something for him, or he can actually listen to other podcasts as well, see what they have to say, because everybody reviews guns on their podcasts and that too. So,
but listen to ours first.
Yeah, listen to ours first, and then you can go and listen to others. So, he's asking some great questions, and Mike, I saw the email that you sent back to him, and you had some great responses for him. So, I'm sure that he'll appreciate it. So,
yep. I have a suggestion for the new shooter, new hunter. Mossberg has these combo packages. You can get shotgun with an 18-inch barrel, 24-inch barrel for turkey, and a 20 field barrel. Like, I've got a 2-barrel set. I've got one for slugs and one for bird hunting or turkey. It's perfect. It was under $500, and I've got a gun that does everything.
Yeah, he's looking to hunt deer.
So, George, what does ACP mean?
ACP is automatic something pistol, automatic. What's the C stand for? ACP.
It was worth it just asking it. Automatic Colt pistol.
There you go. I was thinking cartridge, but I'm like, no, it's not cartridge. I know it's auto, and I know it's pistol, because it's from the 1911, right? Because there were revolvers until the 1911 came out, and then that's where the ACP came from.
And there's a 45 ACP. See, just a Colt brand.
See, I know that now. Well, I knew 66% of it now. The A and the P part. Anyways.
I had to throw it in.
Okay.
See, Gord? I have no problems with making myself look like a fool, so. Yeah. Right, anyone, in and just say you're George.
Does anyone else have any good places to go find information?
Get this podcast called New Shooter Canada. You can email the show at host@newshootercanada.ca. They're a great bunch of guys, and there's a girl too, I think.
Yeah, Slamfire Radio is also very good.
Yeah, and so is if you're doing reloading, Reloading Radio. If you're actually looking at doing some precision rifle, then you can check out the Modern Rifleman Radio. But one of the things that I would suggest is if you're interested in specific things, like he said, deer hunting or handguns, different things, tell us a little bit more information too, whether it is you're looking at pistols, you want to do revolvers, if you types of things you want to do with it too, right? Just saying.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, iTunes.
Okay.
Zip, zero, zilch.
There's none.
All right, and that was updated April 10th, which is today. Scary. Oh, look at that. It's April 10th today. Facebook, 766. If you have not liked our Facebook page, go over and like it. It gets us in the algorithms and gets us noticed and blah, 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 blah. Just go like the page. Okay.
We had a bunch yesterday.
Hmm?
We had a bunch of likes yesterday.
Yeah, the page is actually getting to be quite popular. It's good to see. Mm-hmm. Lots of interaction going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly, just did you make that that pic that you posted up?
I did.
Oh, then of course everyone started jumping all over you. Well, wait a minute, you didn't do my profession. You didn't do my.
You know what? Okay, so what George is talking about is, you know, those little pictures, you know what somebody sees us as, what we really are, and who, you know, and all that. Well, I did one up for gun owners, because, you know what, gun owners, what some people think gun owners are, I went into and I took a stock image from, you know, Google, love Google, and I typed in gangbanger. And I took a stock image and I put it in there. So it's this guy with a bandana and, you know, a t-shirt and his tattooed sleeves and all that. And I just used that as my image, because that's what society sometimes think when you think of somebody who owns guns. That's, you know, that's what things we're trying to fight, right? Legal gun owners. And instead, I said, this is what we actually are. And I said, we're moms, because I have a woman with a carriage, you know, going for a run with a stroller. And then we have, I said, a farmer. And I wanted stuff that was actually, you could look at and you say, oh, okay, it's recognizable, because there's a doctor there and there's a mechanic. But that's what we are. We're all these different people. But yeah, so a lot of people were saying, well, what about the IT guy, or what about the businessman, or what about fathers, or what about, which is awesome. No, serious, it's awesome. But like, there's only 9 spots for pictures, right?
I thought it was hilarious, so I piled on and said, what about truckers?
I know, and I'm going, oh, damn, we're at the trucker. Because trucker would be actually recognizable. You could have somebody with a truck behind them, right? But if we're talking businessmen, well, you know, okay, it's a businessman. Somebody's saying, well, take down the teacher. And I'm going, well, I know a lot of teachers who are actually. But no, I'm not changing anything. But I it was great because people were sharing it. I think we got like 30 shares of it. But
yeah.
It's what it is. It's normal, ordinary people. We
it's
are
what
people
we are.
Who are, yeah, we're nurses, we're doctors, we're mechanics, we're IT men.
You got Brad Pitt up there. I'm not sure he would be a normal, ordinary guy.
Well, I'm saying it because celebrities, they are. I put that in because he actually does carry a gun.
Yeah, both him and Angelina are, I think.
They're pro
shooters. I think for her birthday or something, one year he had a gun range put into their France home or something.
Yeah,
that was your birthday present. Here's a gun range, dear.
Because I put it there because people tend to idolize some people, right? Yeah. Whether it be somebody in sports. I was thinking about sports, and I said, nah, that might. Anyways, so I said, well, let's look at a celebrity, right? And I'm, you know, celebrity. Well, everybody knows, what's his name there? Ted Nugent. Well, I wanted to put in somebody who is recognizable and also somebody who actually does own firearms, and Brad Pitt just popped right up, so I put him in.
That was a great choice.
And he's nice to look at.
That was more of the reason why I was teasing you about it, was because...
Yeah. I know, his wife's pretty easy on the eyes.
Of course, it's Brad Pitt.
Anyways. But, so some people in society see people as, you know, the gangbangers. That's what they see as people who... And they're not... And that being said... You know, a couple of people said, well, that's what I look like, you know, and what's wrong with him? And I'm going, okay, he's representing. What he's representing is somebody who does criminal acts with his firearms and is, you know, and is not a legal, law-abiding gun owner. What I'm trying to show is that, you know, legal gun owners, law-abiding gun owners, are the people that are ordinary, everyday people, like the teacher, or, you know.
We're not
going to. And you learned a very valuable lesson. You're not going to please everybody all the time.
Oh, I learned that long ago.
Well, it was reiterated.
The media has us stereotyped, and from being involved in shooting sports, there are people that you would not expect to be shooters that are shooters. So I like the poster. It was a very positive image to put out, Kelly.
I thought it was pretty cool, too. Yeah, that's why I put it out there.
Yeah, it got a lot of attention. It was very nice. See, now, if you don't like our page, this is the stuff you're missing out on. So go like our page. We just spent about 20 minutes to discuss that just to get you to like our page. See, that's how much we want you to like our page. So go to Facebook, search for New Shooter Canada, and click that like button.
Right. the other thing I wanted to say is we have four hosts on this show, right? How, like, I am not, like, George.
3.5.
That's what I was going to say.
I only count as half.
George is not like Thomas, and Mike is not like me. Like, we're all different. We have all different everything. So, but we're also, you know, we're all gun owners, so.
It's true.
I'm just saying.
It's true, though. We're all very, very different. I still can't get that mental image of George sitting with the speedo
like
out of my head, though.
Short bus different, but, you know, Thomas.
Anyways, did I say welcome aboard, Mike?
Welcome aboard, Mike. Did we lose Mike? Has he left the show already?
No, I didn't leave.
He's kind of regretting this whole thing, though.
Mike, don't be a quitter. No one likes a quitter.
And you know, if Mike can't make it, coming from have Sarah kick in.
Hey, I came on this podcast so I could get on more podcasts than she's been on. So I'm not letting her get a leg up on me.
So the secret is you're just using us against your wife. Really?
So I wasn't going to say it that directly, but
so all right. So closing comments. I miss you guys so much. Actually, Mike just joined the show, so I can't really miss him much. But you know, I will miss you, Mike. So closing comments. This may be the last time I'm on my own show. Check out some of the other awesome podcasts we listen to: Action Shooting Radio, Slamfire Radio, Modern Rifleman Radio, Reloading Podcast, Armed Couples Podcast, Armed Squirrels Project, Firearms Cafe, Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns, or the Canadian Patriot Podcast, etc. Oh yeah, some crazy unknown trucker on the Road Gunner Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Whose name is Chaz, so he's not so unknown.
So Gord, check those out. I'm just saying, Gord, go check them out.
All right, shout-outs. Thomas.
My shout-out this week went to Mr. Anderson. First of all, I'm glad that he finally got out a Chris Anderson Present episode. I've only been waiting 3 years, Christopher. And also to the shout-out to the nursing staff at Bowmanville Hospital. They've been looking after Terry for last week, so they've been doing a great job. So shout-out to all the wonderful nurses at the hospital. And hi, Mom. She listens to the show sometimes, so... My mom actually listens, unlike your dad, George.
Oh, I know. The guy comes on the show, but never listens. Comes out with us to the Toronto Sportsman Show. Doesn't listen.
And he's dressed in all... He's got everything on him. New Shooter Canada. He's got a New Shooter Canada hat, which we don't have. He's got a New Shooter denim shirt, New Shooter jacket. Like, he's part of the team, but he never listens.
You know, it's funny. I do not think he leaves the house without some sort of New Shooter Canada garb on.
Did he listen to the Christmas episode?
I don't know.
We should ask him.
I don't know. So, Kelly, shout out.
I
skip over you while you're typing?
Sure.
Okay, Mike, shout out.
My shout out this week is to Sarah for putting up with me with this whole new podcasting venture.
Now, before you say that, you may want to go check her comment on Facebook. You may want to take that back.
Oh, crap. What did she say now?
We're not telling.
So Sarah, your shout-out may be short-lived.
My question is, when we're doing these shout-outs to people, are they people that are going to be hearing the shout-outs to them?
I'm assuming Sarah will.
I'm hoping.
I'm pretty sure Chris listens.
I know my mom does.
There we go.
Sometimes.
She wants to go shooting.
Jason, sorry, Kelly. Your shout out.
No, go ahead.
I was going to comment that I'm pretty sure Jason listens, but he's your shout out, so.
But we know Brian listens for sure.
Where did we get Brian from?
Brian Sheets.
Yes.
Yeah. Posted something on Facebook about my closing last week.
Okay. My shout-out is to Jason Trombo. I just wanted to say, hi, how you doing? You know, hope you're listening, and, you know, kind of miss you on podcasts. So, hope you're coming back soon.
Well, from the Reloading Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't reached out to Jason yet. So, hey, now is a good time as ever. I'm going to message you on through Facebook because I want to do a series on reloading. So I've talked to Mike. He's on board. I'm going to get a couple people on board. So check. Look for me in your inbox, buddy. Just saying. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, Kelly, for, you know.
Jumping all over my shadow?
Jumping all over your floor. You had the floor and I jumped all over it. I pulled
no
the
worries.
Thomas.
I think he'd like that.
Okay, that brings us to me. Uh-huh. Saving the best for last, as always. Yeah. Anyways, my shout out is to actually the three of you guys.
Aww.
My as my pop bottle falls off my table.
This wasn't the beer bottle this time.
No.
Oh God.
No, the liquor bottles are already on the floor. Anyways, my shout outs to the three of you guys. I did not anticipate my schedule being as chaotic as it has, and you guys stepped up, and thanks to Mike for stepping up as well. So my shout outs to you guys. You guys rock. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And we're so glad and happy that you can make it tonight.
Yeah, when I saw you mention that the call would be at 8 o'clock, I was like, oh, I'm not doing anything at 8 o'clock. Can I come on? Can I come on the show that I started?
Please, 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 can I come on my show?
I'd totally hijack it and make it full of shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you guys miss me?
Yes, we did.
Oh, absolutely. Mischief.
Yeah, I believe Thomas. I don't believe Kelly.
Oh, I did.
Okay, is that it?
The show is so much better when you're on personality on.
Not sure about better. I think I do bring an entertainment quality to the show. Better? Yeah, I'm not so sure. But that's okay.
All right, on that note.
Till next week, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking. Thomas?
Take your kid shooting.
Classy.
Kelly? Mike?
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
Good one.
Aww. That is awesome. Better than last week's. Well, I don't have one.
All right.
That was good.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
What the hell is that?
The shadow knows.
What the heck was that?
That was the intro to the shadow.
Yeah, I got that. What the hell is that?
Okay, and on that note,
I thought you sort of edited after that.
No, that's staying in. Totally staying.
Don't know, I mean, leaving the shadow part just ended there. It was either that or Kelly and Batman again.
This is all golden. This is all staying in. So let's close her down and say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
Bye.
It's 40 below and I don't
okay.
give a bit.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
That's all, folks.
Hey.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at host@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
Hello and welcome to episode 81. Guess what? I'm back.
At a point.
I've been waiting all week to say that.